Thanks a lot for checking out the Church on the Rock message this week. We would love to help you get closer to God. The best way to do that is to visit cotr.org/connect. Or if you are not near our physical campus, visit our online community at cotr.org/online. Enjoy the message and know that God is for you.
This is my Bible. I am what it says that I am. I can do what it says I can do. I can have what it says I can have. Today, I will be taught the uncompromised Word of God. My mind's alert. My heart's receptive. I'll not leave the same as I came, in Jesus' name. And every time I come to Church on the Rock, my faith and my life get stronger and stronger. Oh, let's thank God for the Word today. Can you thank Him for the Word today? Amen. Well, being a God worshiper, we're going to talk about praise and worship. We're going to talk about what it is, when to do it, where to do it, who's to do it, why we do it, all month long. And my prayer is that you and I will be closer to God as we leave this year to go into a brand new year. Is that okay? As your pastor and your shepherd who loves you, my prayer is that you and I grow spiritually. This month we get more intimate with God. We get closer to God. We're stronger and more mature in our walk with God. As we leave this year to go into a brand new 2025 where you're going to thrive in Jesus' name. Amen. So a God worshiper, we're all worshiping something. We're all worshiping something. You know, old Bob Dylan, you're going to serve somebody. It's one of his songs. You're going to serve somebody. We're all serving something or someone. But you and I know we were created to worship and praise God. Amen. And when we do what we were created to do, life seemingly is better. So really, you know, the stress, the pressure, the anxiety, the uncertainty, the fear, the worry, the insomnia, the disease, the doctor's report, what the judge said, what your kids are going through, what you're going through in your business, you know, really, the answers to all of that will actually come through worship. Because worship opens the door. Worship opens the door. I'm going to give you many, many definitions of worship and what it does and the rewards of worship. Can you say that with me? Rewards of worship. Worship is beneficial to you. Worship, we need it. It's beneficial, a life of worship. Worship is more than an event. Worship is more than a church service. You realize that, right? You know, you worship in church this morning, and I want to encourage you to be here on time to be a part of our praise and worship, because there's something about the unity, the synergy, and the power that's released when a lot of people are worshiping God together. You can't get that at home. You just can't get that at home. So you know, we worship in church, and we worship outside church. We're gonna see that in just a minute, but worship is, if you're taking notes, worship is all about relationship. Worshiping God is all about relationship. And number two, worship is all about fellowship. Fellowship with God. My faith won't be any stronger than my fellowship. My faith won't be any stronger than my fellowship. So my worship is really tied to my faith. So worship is all about relationship. Worship is all about fellowship. Worship, number three, if you're taking notes, it's all about partnership. Boy, I need God today. Those who come to God at the end of our service are those who realize they need God. Amen. We all get born again and come to God the day we realize I need God. So worship is, you help me, it's all about, number one was relationship, relationship, relationship. Number two, worshiping God is all about fellowship, fellowship. And worship is all about partnership. It's all about partnership. I need God to be my senior partner. I need God to be the CEO of my company. I need God to be the head of my house. I need God to be Lord over all my decision, my parenting, my business, my career, my job. I need God. I need his partnership. So worship is relationship, it's fellowship, it's partnership. Worship is intimacy. I can't have spiritual growth without worship. I can't have spiritual growth without worship. Worship enhances my spiritual maturity. Worship enhances my spiritual maturity. I can't grow spiritually without worship. Did you know that there's a psalm in the book of Psalms that says we take on the image of that which we worship? Did you know that? We take on the image. That's why they didn't want to be worshiping idols. Because we take on the image of that which we worship. So if we worship God and be a God worshiper, we'll tend to take on his likeness. It's called the fruit of the Spirit. Worship causes the fruit of the Spirit to manifest in my life. You know what that is, right? Patience, you know, joy, love, faith, long-suffering, the fruit of the Spirit. There are nine. Worship also, did you know that worship opens the door for spiritual gifts to operate in your life? Worship opens, it's more than 20 minutes on a Sunday morning, my brother and sister. It's more than a concert. It's more than an event. It's a lifestyle. It's to be in the church and outside the church. It's 7:24. It's not we're going to have a worship concert and that's it. We come to it and leave it there and go back unchanged. Worship changes me. Worship, watch this. I bet you never thought of this. Worship is sanctification. Worship is sanctification. You do realize that we're in the process of sanctification. What's that? Our flesh isn't saved. My flesh ain't saved. Pastor Kim, I went home the other day when she's telling that story, and she goes, you didn't know it, but you blessed one of our friends with your beef jerky big bag. I get it from California. Okay, it's a great big bag, a 3-pound bag, and it's all organic and grass-fed. And she said, you didn't know it, but you blessed them. I said, what? Then my beef jerky? My flesh isn't saved yet. That's called sanctification. Sanctification is not a one-time event. Sanctification is a daily process. It's the renewing of the mind, right? It's purging. That's what worship is. When we worship and we do it with an open heart, in spirit, and in truth, God begins to reveal things to us that need to drop off, like getting upset over losing your bag of jerky, right? I acted like a jerk over the jerky. So worship is sanctification. Worship, listen, if worship isn't sacrifice, it's not worship. Oh, I don't feel like I'll come after worship service is over. Oh, I don't feel like today raising my hands. We've all been there. I don't feel like entering in. If you know what I've gone through, you're just lucky I'm here. I understand. I get that. But watch this now. Golden nugget worth coming to church. If your worship doesn't move you, it doesn't move God. If my worship doesn't move me, it doesn't move God. If I come to church on the rock and I enter in, I'm here at 9 o'clock or 11 o'clock and I'm through the whole 20 minutes, 25 minutes, and it doesn't change me, doesn't move me, then that worship that I gave God didn't receive. Worship is sacrifice. You know, I've been in this a long time, and I remember the first church Kim and I, we had senior pastors. It was a denominational church, and I'd tell people I was young. You know, we were like 28, 29, and I'd teach on, you know, the sacrifice of praise. And I'd always have people come up afterwards and say, I'd be shaking hands at the door on the way out. And they'd say, Pastor, I just can't praise God when I don't feel like it. Well, how come? Well, that would be hypocritical. That's what they'd tell me. That'd be lying. If I'm going to praise God when I don't feel like it, they didn't get it. They didn't understand Bible. Worship is to be a sacrifice. The best time to do it is when you don't feel like doing it. It's a sacrifice. To be there on time, to get your kids ready, to get up early, to prepare on your way, and to enter in from the front to the back, side to side, the balcony, for everybody to enter in. Worship isn't worship until it's a sacrifice. I'm giving you all kinds of definitions and the rewards and the benefits of worship. It's relationship, It's fellowship. It's partnership. It's intimacy. It's spiritual growth. It's sanctification. It's purging. It's opening my heart. It's opening the door for God to do more. Worship is honoring God. You know, there's so less honor in the world today. Parents aren't teaching their children how to honor because they weren't taught. There's so less honor in the world today. That's terrible because the Bible says in 1 Samuel 2:23, God said, if you honor me, I will honor you. But if you despise me, I will despise you. So worship is honor. So worshiping is honoring God. It's honoring him. It's the principle that isn't used much today of honor. Just a little thing. When someone talks to you, put your phone down. That would be honor. Out in the lobby, I come by and shake your hand today. Put your phone down. Just look at me in my beautiful blue eyes and say, boy, Pastor, you did it. I mean, no, praise God. But how much do we see that now? We go talk to people. They're on their phone. They won't even look at you. Their kids don't even say hi to you. See, I know how you think about me by listening to your children. Hallelujah. Been doing this a long time. Praise God. So worship, being a God worshiper. Have I whet your appetite yet? I mean, it'll cure what ails you. It'll get rid of toxic emotions. It'll get rid of self-condemnation. It'll get rid of regret. It'll get rid of worry and fear, anxiety. It will get rid of negativity. Worship changes my attitude. Worship changes my perspective. Worship changes my outlook. My worship becomes prophetic. My worship becomes prophetic. My worship becomes prophetic. In the book of Revelation, when the Holy Spirit said to John, come up hither and I'll show you things to come, and they were worshiping around the altar of God in heaven, worship becomes prophetic. Worship opens the door for God to do. I mean, I could go on till the cows come home on worship. I don't know. Don't raise your hand, but there's this show that I like to watch once in a while. Pastor Kim didn't like to watch it, but she gets to watch it. Like, I get to watch Hallmark. But you ever watch that show, or Roadside Antique Show? I like to watch that show. And, you know, it's all about people having antiques they either got from an inheritance or a garage sale or flea market, or they bought it in the neighborhood, you know, yard sale, or that was given to them, and they don't think it has any value. And it's awesome when they have those experts look at the clock or the watch or the picture or the statue or the china, and the expert says, you thought that was worth $5.95? It's worth $1 million. I love seeing that and their face. Okay? So what they thought had no value, treated it like it had no value until they saw the value. Many Christians treat worship as having no value. That's why they're late. Now, not anybody's case, but that's why they're late. Don't see it as important. Don't have it in church. Won't engage or do it daily. No condemnation. I'm here to help you and I to see the value of worship. When you see the value, and I've spent 10 minutes talking about the value. When you understand the value of worship, bless God, you're on times and you got your kids here. You see the value of worship, you enter in, even when you don't feel like it, because worship is sacrifice. Offer up the sacrifice of praise. In the Old Testament, he wouldn't receive it without it being a sacrifice. All right? So with all that said, I want you to see, when we're done at the end of this month in our journey together, as your pastor shepherd, I want you to see the value of praise and worship. And when you see the value, the awe comes. You know, the awe comes. The amazement comes. The thrill, the excitement, the light comes on. When you see the value of being a God worshiper. Are y'all ready for our journey? Worship is not an event. It's to be a lifestyle. Psalm 150, verse 6. Now, Psalm 150 is the last psalm in the book of Psalms. And did you know that Psalm 150, when you get time, it's a short psalm, but in Psalm 150, It talks about praise and worship. And in Psalm 150, it's the last one. There are 150 Psalms. But in Psalm 150, did you know the word praise is used 14 times? 14 times in just a few verses. The last Psalm of the book of Psalms is all about who is to worship, where we are to worship, how we are to worship, and when we are to worship. So if you'll spend time this week with just Psalm 150, verse by verse, asking the Holy Spirit to reveal it to you, you and I will go to a new level of valuing praise and worship. And transformation will take place. Worship should be transformational. It shouldn't be in just to endure it, just to wait till it's over. Just really don't care about it. It's not important. It is important. Let everything that have breath. Now, can you do a test for me here and at home? Just take one hand, put one hand up like this. Come on, see, half of you aren't doing it, so shame on you. If you don't follow the one you see, you're not following the one you don't see. Come on, if you can't obey me, you're not obeying God, all right? It's all scriptural now. Don't get mad at me. Now you just got offended. Boy, you are in trouble. Now you need to worship. I'm trying to help you. Seriously, it's a biblical fact that how I obey you is how I obey God. That earth is a reflection of heaven. Earth is a reflection of heaven. Earth is a reflection of heaven. So how I conduct myself on earth is how I'm conducting myself in heavenly affairs. Okay, so everybody put your hand up. There, now put your coffee down. Put your Dunkin' Donut down. Put your hand up. And then just put it in front of your mouth, can you? Look to see if the person's doing it next to you. If not, just jab them, okay? Put your hand in front. Now, do you feel anything? You should feel breath. I hope you brushed and flossed this morning. You should feel breath. So that means you are to praise God. Let everything that have breath, not everybody who can sing, not everybody who can carry a note, not everybody who can play a key. Did you ever think about this? You know, these guys up here, all the musicians, you know, they want to be in the right key, right? Songs have keys, right? Steve, you're a musician. Songs have keys. You remember why they call them keys? Because it's a key that opens a door. That song should open a door. That song of praise and worship should open the door to God. Keys open doors. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Okay? Now, Psalm 100. Look at Psalm 100. So it's really important that you study Psalm 150. If you're a student of the word, you'll find out when to worship God, how to worship God, where to worship God, and as well with Psalm 100. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. A joyful noise. I can do that. Thank you. Praise the Lord. We all can do that, right? All right. Then verse 2. Serve the Lord with gladness. So if I'm a door greeter, working in the ushers, the greeters, the youth, the children, parking lot, I make sure I came today serving with joy. If I want a reward, I don't want to do it because I have to do it. Somebody didn't show up and they asked me if I would do it. Don't really want to, but I will. You lose your reward. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. So how do we get, one way we get into his presence, worship, a form of worship, is singing, okay? Psalms, hymns, spiritual songs. So worship brings me into the presence of God. Can I rightfully say that biblically? Worship brings me into the presence of God. Now listen very carefully. Those of you that are struggling right now with a really difficult season, my heart's going out to you. We've all been there. Those of you that are struggling with sickness, a disease, financial stress, marital, children, parenting, child, job, career. We've all been there. We're in this together. But I have an answer for you. The answer for you, you'll find it through worship. Because worship brings you into the presence of God. Now, I think of another scripture. In his presence, all my enemies melt like wax. Stress is an enemy. Fear is an enemy. Worry is an enemy. Agitation, irritation, losing control of my emotions is an enemy. Lack is an enemy, right? Uncertainty. Those are enemies. You get rid of all of those in his presence. How do you get in his presence? I'm showing you the value of worship and being a God worshiper. How do you get into his presence? Through worship. Through worship, you enter his presence. Somebody said, just take it all to Jesus. That's true, right? Take your burdens to him. Take your marital problems, your parenting problems. We've got a parenting seminar coming up for you. One of the main guys in America in demand right now is coming in January. Don't miss that. So it's really important. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence. Everyone say presence with singing. Verse 3. Know ye that the Lord, he is God, that he made us. Not we ourselves, we are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Verse 4. Enter into his gates. How do I get into his presence? With thanksgiving. Worship is thanksgiving. Worship is thanking him for his name's sake. His name is his character. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, into his courts with praise. Be thankful and bless his name. His name is his character, who he is. Worship is relational, right? It's relationship, it's fellowship, it's partnership, it's sanctification. It changes me, it changes my attitude, changes my outlook. It defeats what's bothering me. It gets rid of what's bothering me. I get rid of anxiety. I get rid of toxic emotions. Oh, glory to God. I open the door for God to do more in my life. I open the door for the fruit of the Spirit to grow, the gifts of the Spirit to flow, the value of being a God worshiper. Enter his gates with thanksgiving, his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name. For the Lord is good. We worship him because he's good. We worship him because he's great. We worship him for what he's done. We worship him for what he's doing. Your worship is prophetic. We worship him for what he's going to do. Your worship is prophetic. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. John 4:23. Y'all still with me, everybody? But the hour cometh. Now, this is the lady at the well, okay? She's a Samaritan of a different ethnic group than Jesus. He's a Jew. She's a Samaritan. And they're at the well. This is the lady at the well who committed all kinds of adultery, living with all kinds of different men, living with a guy at that time she wasn't married to. But the hour cometh and now is when the true, please note that on the overhead, when true worshipers. So if there are true worshipers, there are false worshipers. If there's authentic worship that God receives, then there's other kinds of worship God doesn't receive. My heart's got to be in it. If my worship doesn't move me this morning, it didn't move God. It's got to move me to move God. But the hour cometh and now is when true worshipers shall worship the Father, how? In spirit and in truth. That would be authenticity. Authenticity. So real worship causes me to open up and be real before God. Not hide things from him, but open up and let him have every room of my life. Real worship takes an open attitude. Real worship is an act of humility. Real worship is an act of humility. So worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father. Oh, look at this. Look at this, everyone. Oh, look at the overhead. For the Father is looking for those who will. For the Father, God is passing over a million people all over the millions of people all over the earth. And what's he looking for? He's looking for a, come on, say it just a little bit louder, get excited about. Okay, so what's he looking for? A God worshiper. Do you want God to notice you? Do people seemingly unnotice you? Do you feel like that you're in a crowd and no one sees you, no one cares? That's why I had you say, God is for me. So many of us feel like no one's for us. Nobody cares about us. No one notices what we do, who we are, what we're going through. God said, I will notice you. God said, I'm looking for someone like you who'll be a God worshiper. God is not looking for perfect people, black people, white people, brown people, red people, rich people, poor people, old people, young people. He's flat looking for a worshiper that will worship him in spirit and in truth, with authenticity, not rock star, not showy. That's why, you know, if someone, you know, gets wild in our services and a little emotional, you know, maybe they're sitting over here or they're in the back or they're in the balcony, they're over here. That's why we ask the ushers to go to them and just kind of quiet them down. Why? Real worship shouldn't bring attention to you. Real worship shouldn't bring attention to you. If I'm doing the doodad dance up front, and if I'm showing off on the platform, that's not real worship. A lot of worship leaders aren't really God worshipers. They're rock stars. Boy, this is... Hallelujah. Verse 24. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth, with real authenticity, opening my heart, not trying to hide anything, not blaming other people, not blaming other people, not blaming other people. Real worship is taking responsibility for my life. Well, how often we heard that in a worship seminar? I've never heard it. I've never heard that in a worship seminar. That real worship is taking responsibility for my life. Real worship is taking and being accountable for my life. Real worship is confessing before the Lord the areas of my life that need to change. Worship will change me. It's transformational. God is looking for people who aren't trying to show off, show up, demonstrate their talent, their skill, be recognized, build a platform, blaming other people, hiding from God. No, that's not real worship. That's not authentic worship. Putting my time in. That's not. He's looking for worshipers. And he's looking for worshipers that will be the real deal, that will be authentic, that will be honest and humble and open and want to change and want to know how to change. Okay? So God is looking for people who will be God worshipers. So that means intimacy. So if you'll stay with me for these weekends, for this whole month, as we end this year during the holiday season, Merry Christmas, by the way, as we do all this at the end of the month, we should be closer to God. We all should be closer to God. Our life should be better. No matter our circumstances, our life should be better. Okay? Now, Psalm 25:12, watch this. This is amazing. So look at the overheads to follow the verse, okay? If it's up on the verse, if it's up there, yeah, praise the Lord. Look at this, Psalm 25, 12, 14. My question. Okay, Pastor Blunt, what are God worshipers like? This is where I got the title for the series, God worshipers. Y'all see the connection? My question, what does a God worshiper like? What are they like? Your answer, watch this now, a God worshiper, your answer is they have arrows aimed at God's bullseye. A God worshiper is intentional. A God worshiper does it on purpose. A God worshiper does it with a purpose. That's why I spent 10 minutes at the beginning of this teaching on giving you the value and the rewards and the benefits of being a God worshiper. A real God worshiper, he said, what are they like? He said, they're like arrows aimed at God's bull's eye. Why don't you love the word? Oh, verse 13. They settle down in a promising place. Oh, real God worshiper? They're like arrows pointed at God's bullseye. Not theirs, not the world's, but God's bullseye for their life. I want to hit God's bullseye for my life. That's a God worshiper. I want God to be happy he created me. When I die, I want him to say, well done, Dave Blunt. A God worshiper is aiming everything towards God's bullseye. Not my agenda, God's agenda. Not my plan, God's plan. Not my will, God's will. Not my purpose, God's purpose. What do we do here? We lead people to a God who's for them and help them discover his bullseye for them. So what does a God worshiper look like? They aim at God's bullseye. God, today I want your plan for Church on the Rock. I want your plan for me. I want your plan for my family, my business, my career, my education. God, I want your agenda. God, I want to know your purpose. Worshipers find God's purpose for their life. They settle down in a promising place. And look at this, worshiping God, practicing for 20 minutes on a Sunday, and then so you can do it every day of your life. Guess what? It will affect your kids. Do they see you worship God at home? It will affect your kids and your kids' kids. Where you get that, preacher? Right here. Their kids inherit a prosperous farm. Well, my kids don't want Green Acres. My kids don't want Old McDonald's farm. It's a metaphor. It's a metaphor. Your kids will inherit a prosperous life. And don't just think money. Think health. Think marrying the right people. Right career. Fulfilling God's purpose. That's all a result of your 20 minutes on Sunday that overflows into 5, 10, 15 minutes on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. A lifestyle of worship. God worshipers aim at God's bullseye for their life. God worshipers aren't doing it nonchalantly, half-heartedly, when they feel like it, come late. They don't do that. They're precise, they're accurate, they're diligent, they're intentional. Why? Because of the rewards, because of the benefits. Am I communicating today? They settle down in a promising place. You settle down, you're not freaked out, you're not worried, you're not anxious. The future doesn't worry you. And your kids, it affects your kids. And then it goes on in verse 14. God friendship. Oh, didn't I start today as the team comes out? Didn't I start today that real worship is relationship? It's fellowship. It's partnership. God friendship is for God worshipers. They are the people He confides in. God reveals to God worshipers things He doesn't reveal to anybody else. So in my time of worship, 724, God can reveal to me what looks like a secret. I have no idea how to keep this marriage together. I have no idea how to get my healing. I have no idea to pay off my credit cards. I have no idea how I'm going to provide Christmas for my family. I have no idea how I'm going to get off this medicine. I have no idea. God does. God's like Ford. He's got a better idea, right? So notice He shares secrets. He shares insights. He gives revelation. He gives clues. He gives nudges. He gives little impulses. He gives little pulls that no one else in the crowd even has a clue. But all of a sudden, you got the answer. As the team comes out, all of a sudden, you've got the solution. All of a sudden, you know what to do now about your problem, your pressure, your worry, your uncertainty. Because you are a God worshiper. I'm done. Did you get something today? Come on, let's praise God. Let's worship God. You're not wasting time or energy. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. So homework, takeaway, your pastor and shepherd who loves you, takeaway is this week, study Psalm 115. Psalm 150. It'll tell you who, when, where, how to worsip God. Study Psalm 100. Read it in different translations and allow the God to speak to you. In your life, at the end of this month, you're going to thank me. And you're going to give God the glory. Amen? Heads are bowed, eyes are closed, no one moving. Online, you're watching right now. And you see, Pastor, I'm at a point, I need God. I need God. You're at the right place. You're at the right place. In 1975, Kim and I had been married 2 years. We loved each other, but we couldn't stand each other. Our life was falling apart. I had a brand new Corvette. I'm a Corvette guy. had a brand new Corvette, had a brand new motorcycle. I had a great job. She had a great job. We were going to build a new house, buy some property out in the country, an acreage, but we were miserable, and Humpty Dumpty was falling off the wall. I realized I needed God. If you're watching or listening today and you say, Pastor, I need God, let me lead you in a prayer today. God is for you. God loves you, has a plan for your life. God is not mad at you. God loves you. Or you say, Pastor, I know the Lord, but God's speaking to me. Talk about sanctification. You talked about your beef jerky. There's some things that need to drop off my life, Pastor. I want to recommit. If that's you, punch the button on your device. That's an act. Faith is an act. You got to do something. You got to do something publicly. He said, if you're ashamed of him, he's ashamed of you. God bless you. Here in this room, in the lobby, Rock Express, the cafe, heads are bowed, eyes are closed. You say, Pastor, I need God. I humble myself. I'm honest. I'm real. I'm authentic. I need God. I realize I can't do this without God. I want Jesus to be, I want to surrender my life to him. I want to live for him. I want to give my life to him. If that's you, or you say, Pastor, I'm already a believer, but again, God's resetting my life today, a new level of commitment. If that's you, wherever you're at, faith is an act. Jesus said, if you're ashamed of me before people, I'm ashamed of you before God. You've got to do something outwardly. So right there where you're at, you say, Pastor, just include me in the prayer. I'm making this quality decision in every section and by faith behind the curtain. Lift your hand up high and wave it at me. As I scan the audience, put it up high, wave it at me. Christians, you should be praying under your breath right now. This is heaven and hell. Glory to God. I'm waiting. Just put your hand up high. Wave it at me. Wave it at me. Thank you. God bless you. God bless you all. Put your hands down. Okay, church, let's help them. We're family. It's in Romans 10. Let's all say it. Heavenly Father, I repent. I changed my mind. I want to go in a new direction. I believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He died for me, and he rose again. Jesus, come into my heart. Come into my life. I receive you now as my Lord and my Savior. Fill me with the Holy Spirit and take my life and make a difference. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's look up and celebrate with all the angels in heaven. Glory to God.
Would you like to keep growing in your faith? At Church on the Rock, we would love to help you. Maybe it's learning more about discovering what it means to join a church family, being part of a small group, or using your God-given gifts to serve others. Head over to cotr.org/connect, where you can find out more to all of these. Or if you are part of our online community, visit us at cotr.org/online. Have a great week, and don't forget that God is for you.